Thank you, Ms. Andy Seeker. Opening prayer, I thought, was particularly succinct and related very well to the occasion that we're celebrating today. And so I appreciate that on the part of Mr. Williams, who is praying on behalf not only of himself, but all of us, the same prayer. He leads us in that prayer. This is a day, or the day, annually, of trumpets. We call it the Day of Trumpets. It begins a fall holy season. And the Bible tells us that there are three holy day seasons in the year. There are the spring holy days, and then there is Pentecost, which is a separate season. And then at this time of the year, there is the third season, which is the fall holy day season. Trumpet signifies many things. We could think of some of the things that it signifies. It's kind of like I used to have a toy that I would look through called a kaleidoscope. And you shake that toy around or rotate the thing a little bit, and you get a different view. There's a certain number of stones inside that telescope-like, it's a toy that children like to play with and look at. It's like a telescope, but you shake those stones around, and it gives you a different view. There's seemingly an unlimited number of views that you can see by looking inside that kaleidoscope. Well, that's true of God's plan and of God's holy days as well. One of the things we think about is the Day of Trumpets. It's a day of alarm and war. The return of Jesus Christ, which the Day of Trumpets signifies, is going to be a time of terrible warfare on the face of this earth. So we have a particular trumpet for that. The shofar, or the ram's horn, which was used by the ancient Israelites to blow an alarm. Apparently was capable of really giving a blast that could be heard for quite a long ways by the entire camp of Israel. So we think of this day of trumpets as one of the factors is blowing an alarm, and that's done with the ram's horn. We also think of the day of trumpets as being something of a musical instrument. You know, Harry James used to play the trumpet. Some other famous musicians would play the trumpet, and they would have very nice music as a result of the trumpet. But it was customary to have a fanfare blown by trumpets at the arrival of a king. And so the Bible uses this second kind of trumpet. It is a musical instrument. The silver trumpets were blown to announce the coming of a king. Appropriate on this day of trumpets because, well, it's announcing the arrival of Jesus Christ, the king, to this earth to establish the kingdom of God. There's another thing I want to focus on a little bit more in relationship to trumpets today, and that is, we find it in Revelation, I think it's 23, verse 24. I don't have it in my notes, but I think that's where it is. On the first day of the seventh month of the year, there shall be a memorial, a blowing of trumpets. Why is this word memorial? Why do we see trumpets being a memorial? Now we think of memorials in relationship to funerals, to maybe wedding anniversaries. That's a memorial of the time that you might have married your mate. A memorial looks sort of backward at an event that has occurred. Memorial. We had a memorial service for John Stuchina when he died. That was a memorial service. You know, we think about memorials in that way. Well, why would God say in Leviticus 23, verse 24, a blowing of trumpets, which is a memorial? What is being remembered? Memorial and remember, they sort of go together. What is it that's being remembered that God wants remembered during this day of trumpets? We're going to talk about that. This is an offertory sermonette. So today we will be expressing our joy to God by our giving. Now, we don't normally take up offerings during services, but on the holy days we do because there's a separate instruction about that. So we'll be taking up an offering today. And I'll read a scripture about that before we finish. But let's see in a memorial something is being celebrated. So what already thousands of years ago when this instruction was given to the Israelites, the word memorial was being used. What was it that was being looked back at and celebrated? Job chapter 38. We find some explanation to that. It says, the Eternal or the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this, talking to Job? Who do you think you are? Kind of what it says. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? He was kind of really putting some pressure on Job here when he said that. Who is it that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? You don't know what you're talking about, Job. And Job had been through a lot. You know, his wife told him, admonished him to curse God and die. And we haven't experienced anything like that. But Job was even maybe a little bit more so than Dick Close. Gird up now your loins like a man, for I will demand of you and answer, and you answer me this. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Now, Ralph told me, of course, he works on construction, and there are foundations that are laid for every building. It's an allegory, isn't it? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Because we know that there's not really anything which we see as a foundation, but it's expressing the creation of the earth. It's expressing the fact that there are certain principles that had to be put together for this earth to be created. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Now, Job was, you know, he was very righteous. God said, you're speaking about what you don't really know, Job. I made the earth. Where were you? Declare that if you have understanding. Who has laid the measure thereof? In other words, if you're going to lay a foundation, you've got to be pretty careful with your measurements. Otherwise, the building isn't going to be square and plumb. You got to be careful of where you lay that foundation. Declare that if you know. Who laid the measure? And who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Verse 7 is the one I wanted to focus on here, because this is where the aspect of a memorial comes into play here. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You see, that's another aspect of trumpets. Trumpets is a memorial. It's a looking back at the fact that God created the heavens and the earth. See, it says in Leviticus 23, verse 24, remember trumpets, there shall be a blowing as a memorial, a remembrance of creation. So when we come to celebrate trumpets, we're not only talking about futuristic events, but we're talking about the fact there is a memorial which had to do with creation. And it's very important to notice here that the morning stars sang together. There was an event, it was a great celebratory event when the angels of God saw this finally completed. There was a great celebration and great joy as a result of this creation. So when we come here to give an offering, and that's what we're going to do here in a few minutes. So I don't know if someone has some offertory envelopes, and if anybody needs one, that you could raise your hand and they could give you one. And by the way, if you didn't realize that there was going to be an offering and you weren't prepared for it, don't worry about it. There's a kind of giving that God wants us to involve ourselves in, which is consistent with the attitude of joy that was shown by the angels at creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Paul writes to the church in Corinth that we ought to be in a particular attitude whenever we come to God to give. Every man, Paul says, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God doesn't need our money. He has plenty of money. But he does want us to have a heart of giving, not only for ourselves, but for all of mankind. And that's what we do when we give. We cheerfully give to God, but what can we give to God, really? We really can't. We really don't have any capability or capacity to give anything to God. We only really receive everything we have from God. But we can contribute to the accomplishment of the work that God wants done. And we give all to God our heart and the joy of being able to participate in what he's doing. So, in a minute here, we will be collecting an offering. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16. A long time ago, I purposed to always use this verse of scripture anytime there was an offering. It says, and I said, three times in the year. Here's one of the places where it says three times or three seasons in a year. Spring, Pentecost, fall holy day season. Shall all your males appear before the Eternal, your God, in the place where he shall choose, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles. They shall not appear before the Lord empty. Now, I think the Russian translation, Natasha can correct me if I'm wrong, and I know the Estonian translation, they say, you shall not appear with an empty hand. So you are to bring something. Doesn't have to be much. I say God's not, doesn't really need our money, but it should be a reflection. Whatever you bring should be a reflection of the joy of being able to give something back to God. Amount's not nearly as important as the attitude is important. But if you're stingy, of course, that reveals an attitude too. But we don't want to do that. We want to give out of an attitude of joy. That'll be an attitude of giving. So we'll have the offering now.